What's up, everyone? I'm Lyle.
I'm Care.
I'm Cub.
And you're listening to The Hooligans, and it is time. It is time for
it
our fanfiction.
Fanfic for the rest of us.
Well, so at the end of last week's episode, we said that we are going to write our own fanfiction for today. And we did. Some of it is legitimate, like Care wrote one that actually is probably really well written.
I wrote a scene.
I tried to...
That's all you get for now.
I wrote an entire story in, like, 3 pages.
Oh, wow. I wrote mine in, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, mine started out pretty... It wasn't bad, actually, and then I tried to cram everything in there. So we'll see how it goes.
So it's a little wild, I hear.
Oh, it is. I guess I'll start. It's time.
Oh, man.
I'm so ready for this. We're just diving right in.
Goofy walked up to the gauntlet. Oh, <man. laughs> Someone else might have to go. I don't know if I can do it without laughing.
I think we're going to have a problem with that all okay. Episode.
I'll just try. Goofy walked up to the gauntlet. I'll do it myself. He put the infinity gauntlet on his hand, watching as the gems lit up. Dr. Heat, come with me, Goofy called out. Dr. Heat, a green-haired old man, walked out. They looked at each other and ran out of the building. Cut to title. Goofy, Infinity War.
Oh, man.
President James Marshall sat at his desk. He was in his 25th year as president, but no one minded. When you've stopped Russian terrorists with your bare hands, you can pretty much do whatever you want. The phone
That's
began
true.
To ring. What is it? He asked Harrison Fordily. Goofy, he's back. All right, thanks. He hung up the phone and sighed. He dealt with Goofy before. After defeating Gary Oldman in 97, he had to deal with his lieutenants when he got home. Goofy was one of them. A radical loyalist, he fought against Marshall, almost defeating him. At the last second, Marshall chopped Goofy's arm off and sent him to jail.
Interesting.
Wow.
That's harsh.
He knew Goofy wouldn't be as easy to beat this time. He needed a team. He pulled out his Rolodex and started calling. President Marshall stepped out to the tarmac. The plane landed. The first one to walk out was Dr. Ian Malcolm. He had defeated dinosaurs twice. He could take on Goofy. Then came AJ Styles. All it would take was one phenomenal forearm to Goofy's smug face, and he would be down. Next up, Rocky Balboa walked out. Do I even need to say what his fists could do to Goofy?
Oh, man.
He was followed by Rocky DeSantos, the Blue Zio Ranger. He had fought alongside some of the greatest Power Rangers, and he was ready to prove himself as a member of a new team. Maximus, general of the Felix Legions, stepped out next. He wasn't sure what a plane was, but he enjoyed the ride. That was my first plane ride, he exclaimed. And finally, apparating through the door of the plane was the ghost of Jessica Fletcher. She had been killed when someone finally decided to kill her instead of someone near her, but she learned the ways of the Force and became a ghost. Welcome, President Marshall started to say when there was an explosion. Ooh. Yeah, welcome, Goofy exclaimed. He had the gauntlet on his one remaining hand. Dr. Heat followed him, holding a lightsaber. They were followed by a mass of Samuel L. Jackson clones. Time's up, motherfucker. They all said in unison.
Oh, man.
The team got into formation. Blue Ranger Rocky and Rocky Balboa began to attack the Samuel L. clones, Rocky landing deadly left hooks and Rocky using his sweet triangular nunchuck things. AJ Styles pretended to punch the Samuel L.'s and they went down anyway.
Like buddies.
Ghost Jessica Fletcher just walked through the Samuel L.'s, killing them instantly. Eventually, all the Samuel L.'s were gone. It was just Goofy and Dr. Heat. Ian Malcolm and Maximus teamed up to take out Dr. Heat. No one was really sure what his powers were, and they weren't gonna find out. Ian pulled out a raptor claw and slashed at Dr. Heat. Maximus pulled out his sword and stabbed him in the stomach. Dr. Heat Dr. Heat jetpacked away before he could actually die.
Oh, man.
This that sets left up just, for a sequel.
That left just Goofy. President Marshall wanted to take him on his own. Goofy, he yelled. Hello, James, Goofy replied. How's your family? Marshall winced. He thought back to the aftermath of his defeat of Goofy. His family was so impressed by Goofy's fighting abilities that they left Marshall and went to live with Goofy. No. Marshall still hadn't gotten over it. I hate you, Marshall responded. You took everything from me. And I'm gonna take more, Goofy retorted. He snapped his finger. Unfortunately for him, of the 50% of the population that would be snapped away, only Dr. Heat was present in the scene. He disappeared as he jetpacked away.
Oh, man.
That was easier than I thought, Marshall said. He pulled out a parachute and wrapped it around Goofy's gauntlet. Get off my planet, he said. He pulled the strap on the parachute, and Goofy somehow flew away into the atmosphere where he exploded. Good job, team, Marshall said, a wry grin on his face. Rocky and Rocky high-fived. Ghost Jessica Fletcher nodded and disappeared. AJ Styles flew away. Maximus remembered that he was already dead and collapsed. He smiled as he walked through the wheat. I've got to get going. Ellie and Alan are getting married, Ian said. Yeah, me too, Blue Ranger Rocky said. Kimberly and Tommy are getting married. Thanks, everyone. Well, you know, I had to right some wrongs. Thanks, everyone, Marshall said. The plane carried the remaining team members away. He sat down at his tarmac desk when the phone rang. What is it? He asked. It's Dr. Heat. He survived somehow, the voice responded. The end.
But I thought he got snapped away.
Well, oh, that's what the sequel would be.
Oh, that was really good, man.
Good job.
Whoever thought that our first censor would have to be on myself.
That's mind-blowing. Wild.
I had to do it. It was perfect.
You had to. Yes.
Oh. So yeah, that was Goofy Infinity War.
I loved it. Well, I loved it.
That was awesome.
Can I do my vignette? Because I have a lot of burps in me.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Alright, it's really short. Alright, I don't have a name for it. The Council of Elrond convened, the different races converging in Middle-earth's greatest time of need. The One Ring's fate would need to be decided. He had thought Aragorn would offer, or perhaps Legolas of Mirkwood. But their differences overwhelmed the council, and an argument broke out. They yelled and cursed like children. The hobbit jumped to his feet, but a bright light blinded them from above. A craft floating in midair appeared, and a man with wild blue hair leapt from inside. He ran to Frodo, striking him hard across the face with an open palm, and reached into his shirt. Before Gandalf could move, the man yanked the ring from the chain and belched, "Hey guys, it's not ready. Hang on. Hey guys, I got this." He leapt back into his craft and disappeared. The council stared in stunned silence before chaos broke out. Elrond, dropping his head into his hands and declaring, "There is no hope then." Without warning, the craft returned and the man leapt out, offering a lazy grin. drop the ring in that volcano, guys. Oh, I also destroyed that big tower thing. ungrateful much? Whatever. Losers, I'm out. Oh, that's all.
Oh, that was awesome. Rick and Morty.
That's why I had to drink pop.
Oh, that was perfect. That's really what the guy does, too.
I know.
Oh, that, man.
That was my first vignette, so... But I could feel the burps, like, building up, and I needed
yeah.
to... I needed
oh, yeah.
to let him go.
Oh, man. That was awesome.
I have another vignette and my actual fan fiction, so...
I mean, you can just keep going, because I really want to see what Cub has planned last.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I hope it's incredible. All right. So my I was going to do my other vignette.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. It's even shorter. Voldemort emerged from the cauldron. His skin gaunt, his features snake-like. He hissed at his followers and Harry Potter alike. Fear clenched at the boy's heart, his greatest enemy in the flesh. Welcome, brethren, he grinned, arms spread wide as he enjoyed his new form. Suddenly, a figure appeared out of nowhere, Severus Snape arriving after the other Death Eaters. Ah, Severus, I've been waiting for you. And I you, my lord, he replied with a short bow, for many years now. Suddenly, he yanked a pistol from beneath his robes and shot Voldemort in the head.
Oh, man.
He turned to Harry and winked, boom goes the dynamite. That's it.
I like it.
I think How I Should Have Ended did one with that before, but they didn't have the boom goes the dynamite, and that really sealed it.
That sealed the deal.
Mm.
I still like my Rick and Morty one. Better.
That was really good.
All right, Care, want to finish up your trifecta?
All right, this is my real one, and I can't stop burping now. It's called A Girl Enters the Council of Elrond.
Ooh.
Her dark eyes flicked between the unusual group surrounding her. I don't know why I was reading that weird. Men, wizards, she understood them, but elves, hobbits, these creatures didn't exist in Westeros, not even beyond the wall to her knowledge. And the dwarves, they certainly weren't anything like the Lannister imp she had met so long ago. They were stocky, sturdy, strong. These men knew battle, all of them, aside from the hobbits. They were smaller than even her, and just as soft as she and her siblings had been before the king had ridden north and destroyed their sanctity. Her family. Shaking her head, she focused on the elven lord's words, intrigued by the story he told. She had heard nothing like it, an untold evil, hordes of creatures called orcs, and at the center of it, a silly little ring. She'd never owned a ring in her life, though her sister used to love them. She smirked. She'd already defeated the Night King. What was a dark lord with a fancy ring? One of the men began to speak, and she started. She hadn't noticed him at first and wondered how she hadn't now. She stared, her stomach plummeting as a wave of cold washed over her. She hadn't felt fear in years, but now... He looked so similar to her father. Younger, his hair lighter, but his features, his strong jaw, prominent nose, he even sounded like him. Animated, brash, nothing like the silent, somber Lord of the North. And who invited a child to Lord Elrond's council? He sneered suddenly, his dark eyes narrowing in her direction. She had watched him for so long, mouth agape, that she choked in surprise and hauled herself upright in her seat. Eyes shifted to her, those who might not have noticed now examining her and murmuring as if she was some child of the forest, strange and unheard of. Lady Stark is an honored guest, Elrond answered calmly, gesturing to her with a sweeping arm. She's traveled far from the east. She's a skilled warrior, more so, maybe, than yourself, Lord Boromir. He ignored the man's scoff and continued firmly. Do not doubt my words. She is a worthy inclusion to my council, and you would do well to treat her with respect. And caution, Arya sent him a devilish grin. This man, this ghost of her father, curled his lip but remained silent. The council continued, growing heated as the men, and they were all men, argued over what to do with the ring. its destruction was required, and Arya Stark never shied away from an adventure. But the Hobbit beat her to it. The tiny man offered to do what others could not, and she couldn't help but enjoy such a small creature taking on such a monumental task. Others joined, the Hidden King, the Elf, a dwarf, and the man who looked so much like Ned Stark. Three more hobbits rushed from the bushes, startling everyone but herself. And finally she stood. She approached Frodo and unsheathed her sword. Some scoffed at its thin, small blade, but she cut such scathing looks at them that they fell silent. She returned her attention to the hobbit. You have my needle, and believe me, little one, you'll need it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That was good.
That's my LOTRGOT crossover.
Oh, man.
That was good. I knew it would be.
So in.
I'd watch.
I would watch that, too.
Cub. I'd give it a shot.
So we'll do cubs, and then we'll do some literary analysis.
Oh, man.
Like what?
I don't know. Are you ready, Cub?
I guess so. All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
The stage is set in Mr. Peterman's office at the end of the Frogger episode. Elaine, is the item still with you? As far as I know. Elaine, do you know what happens when a cake sits in a damp, poorly ventilated cellar for 60 years? No? Very well. I have the feeling what you're about to go through is punishment enough. Dismissed. We cut away to Elaine's apartment following this event. Elaine sits on the couch feeling less than stellar. Over the next hour or so, she begins to develop a fever, rash, and an insatiable thirst for expired desserts. Soon, she will be on the hunt, and unbeknownst to her friend, she'll be willing to do whatever it takes to get it. Imagine, if you will, a busy New York City sidewalk mid-evening. Now imagine that sidewalk with a ravenous, delirious, dessert-thirsty Elaine attempting to navigate that sidewalk. She was heading to the only place she knew would have what she needed, Monk's Coffee Shop. Coincidentally, Jerry, George, and Kramer were supposed to meet her there shortly. They couldn't ever have predicted what would be in store next. En route to the coffee shop, Elaine clawed, bit, beat, and murdered unsuspecting city dwellers. She wasn't hungry for them, but she could taste, she could smell, she could feel that expired frosting in her mouth. And all these poor saps were in the way. Well, they didn't make it. Police were called immediately, and all of a sudden we had a manhunt on the way for zombified Elaine. In the meantime, Jerry, George, and Kramer sat down in their favorite booth and ordered, not knowing of the commotion only blocks away. They had already eaten dinner, decided to get some dessert. A couple of slices of vanilla cake, to be exact. No. The waitress noted the cake wasn't exactly fresh, but they didn't care. They had a hankering for some vanilla cake with vanilla frosting. As they sat and ate the cake, they remarked on Elaine being late, as this was not typical of her. And just like that, Elaine barged through the front door on the hunt. She stumbled up to the counter and begged the waitress for cake, but the words were jumbled as the pastry infection took hold even further. The waitress was only able to make out the word cake and then pointed to Jerry, Kramer, and George and said, well, they got the last three pieces. Jerry looked up from his last bite. Hi, Elaine, you don't look so good. And just like that, Elaine rips through Jerry's neck to savor any remaining frosting that had been coated on his gullet. George and Kramer, stuck in the booth, were next. Elaine, with superhuman strength, pinned them down and clawed through their insides, hoping to get anything the stomach acid didn't get. It was a tragic scene. Customers scrambling about, blood and frosting everywhere. Eventually, police swarmed the building. Elaine tried to put up a fight, but even with zombified strength, it's no match for 100 hollow tips. The next day, Elaine's co-workers were devastated. The break room was nothing but tears and wailing. They had no idea what could have caused such tragedy. Suddenly, Mr. Peterman walks through the door. He looks at his faithful crew and says, "Elaine was one of our best. We should celebrate her life as she would have wanted. Here, everybody, have a piece of cake." As he held up a slightly ragged box of delicious confection.
Oh, no.
That was it.
Oh, man. You wrote that in 15
that was awesome.
Minutes?
Yeah, dude.
That was so good.
That was awesome.
Oh, thanks, man.
So, I guess we do some analysis now. My question, so, is that the royal cake at the end?
That's left that for the viewer to decide. Or,
I took it as that was the cake that Elaine ate, so now they're all going to be zombies.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, so is Peterman, it's not like he knows about it.
I don't know.
Man.
There's so many questions.
That was great. The poetic wasn't even a match for 100 hollow tips. So good. A single tear fell from my eyes.
I had an alternate ending where, like, the soup Nazi and Babu Bot come in like, jetpacks and just blow everything away. But that's, like, that seems like a different story.
Yeah, that might have to be in our,
that
whenever
be the
we
next,
do another one.
Part
the
two.
Next story. Part two.
Oh, that was so good. Oh, Care. So yours was actually, like, I would watch that.
Oh, well, that's how I write.
Yeah.
But Cub, I did the vignettes.
Oh, Cub, yours was really well written, too.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, man.
I guess I just have never read anything by you, so I didn't know what to expect.
Lyle, yours was great. I would actually let James Marshall be president for 25 years. That's cool.
Well, yeah, who's gonna fight back, you know? He defeated Gary Oldman and Goofy. Now,
I like
twice.
You just called him Gary Oldman, though.
Yeah, I don't remember what his name is.
He defeated Gary Oldman, the actor.
Oh, man. Any more comments?
Oh, I liked both of yours.
Yeah, I liked all of them.
Care sounded legit like a novel.
It did.
Like, really good, though.
Come
and
here.
Lyle's with Samuel.
You'll notice there was a pause before it. It's because I had to decide whether or not I was going to drop it. So that's going to do it, I think, for today's episode. It's surprisingly concise. We had a goal. We stuck to it.
I did chug that pop in like 5 minutes.
Even awesome. I don't do that.
I'm so full of burps.
All right, but that's going to do it for today. Someday we will do... I think it was great.
I think it was pretty great. They were all awesome.
Someday we will do more fan fiction when you least expect it. Anyway, I'm Lyle.
I'm Care.
I'm Cub.
And you've been listening to The Hooligans.